Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Hassan Fazili directed a film that will be shown tomorrow night at the UC Davis Human Rights Film Festival. It premiered this year at the Sundance Film Festival. Fazili is from Afghanistan. In 2015, he made a film called Peace about a Taliban commander who wanted to abandon violence. But after the film was aired, that commander was killed, and the Taliban called for Fazili to be killed, too, along with his family. So he fled with his wife and two young children. And that's the story in this new film titled Midnight Traveler. Emily Medavian is producer, writer, and editor of the film. She's a UC Davis grad. She worked with Fazili to document his escape, and she's joining us by phone from Salt Lake City. Hi, Emily. Glad to have you with us on Insight.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Will you tell me about Hassan deciding to document this journey and how your conversations were involved in that process?
Yeah, so I knew the family before the film began, and so I was in conversation with them about how to help them find safety. And as their situation deteriorated, the family said that they felt that documenting their situation, which they knew was not, unfortunately, was not an uncommon one, was something that as filmmakers they could do, both potentially to improve their own situation, but also simply to just raise awareness, raise up the voices of people who are going through something like them. So I agreed to help them, you know, in producing and editing the film.
They ended up recording everything on three cell phones. And how did they get the cell phones and then transfer all the content to you or back to the United States?
So, yeah, they used three cell phones. They used phones that have removable memory cards. So they were able to swap out the memory cards and keep recording, which meant that they could record quite a lot before it had to be sent to me. And then what we did is in each country, I arranged somebody to meet them, and they would go meet with that person. That person would copy from their SD cards, their memory cards, to hard drives and mail the hard drive to me in the U.S., where I could keep the footage safe while they continued to travel.
It's really a remarkable film, Emily. It's getting attention all over the world. I'll use that word again, the tension in the film, just in terms of this journey and the family's safety, is offset by these really intimate scenes, just the normalcy and the abnormalcy of the young girls and the family. I think it's just such a delicate balance of a sad reality for millions of people in the world right now.
Yeah, and that was purposeful. You know, we felt that there are a lot of stories and a lot of journalistic reports about the situation with migrants worldwide, but what this family could offer was this longitudinal, very intimate inside experience of the journey. And so in being with the family, you end up seeing all of the ways that there is still joy and humor in life in this kind of awful and often frightening situation. And we wanted to highlight that in order to keep the humanity of the family and, you know, by extension, imply that there's a certain humanity in all of these stories that's lost when it's presented to us as a kind of crisis with faceless people, you know, presented in terms of numbers or sensationalized by our desire as outsiders to get attention to the issue.
How did Hassan find out initially that his family's life was in danger?
It's a really unusual and kind of beautiful story that that he does tell in the film. It's a story of his friendship. It's a 20-year friendship with a man who ends up working with the Taliban. So they were friends before the man joined the Taliban, and then after he joined the Taliban, they remain friends, although not obviously close friends. But enough of friends that when his name was put on the list of people to, you know, to capture and assassinate, basically, his old friend saw his name and called him. So he was warned, actually, by someone who's an insider in the Taliban. I think it shows the ways that those kind of bonds of friendship and his willingness to keep that alive in spite of his friend's you know, what from his perspective was clearly bad decision, meant that his life was saved.
It's interesting, though, Hassan does say that he helped both of them because he realized that had they come face to face in a Taliban capture, that Hassan's friend wouldn't have been able to look him in the eyes or vice versa, and it would have been a much different ending. So I think you're right. That story alone runs very, very deep.
Yeah. I mean, the implication is, of course, that his friend didn't want to be put in the position of capturing and sending Hassan off to his death. So knowing that he couldn't do that, he warned Hassan instead.
So the family went to Tajikistan first and applied for asylum and waited there for a very long time. Ultimately, their goal became to get to safety in Europe, specifically to Germany. They went through a number of countries, 3,500 miles, all kinds of situations, from sleeping outside in the snow to being in jail-like barracks. They did this with their two young daughters. Was there a point when Hassan said to you, what have I done? What are we doing?
Yeah, I think that, you know, nobody can really understand what they're getting into, you know, in advance. And the difficult reality of their situation set in over and over again as they confronted these really increasingly trying circumstances, you know, from just the incredible anxiety of waiting for years, which is still ongoing for them, to the really pointed fear that these specific frightening moments in the film, you know, put them in, this sort of awful situation of being attacked by neo-Nazis or, you know, fearing arrest and not knowing where you'll be taken or if you'd be deported. You know, so the while you know that the journey is difficult in advance, you never really know the kinds of things that you're going to have to go through and shelter your children from.
Midnight Traveler is the film we're talking about. It will be shown as part of this week's UC Davis Human Rights Film Festival. The screening is tomorrow, Tuesday, October 22nd at 5:30 at the Minetti Schrem Museum on the UC Davis campus. Then there will be a Q&A with Emily Madavian, whom I'm speaking with. She's a UC Davis grad and the producer, and we're talking by phone from Salt Lake City. I guess you call this at Sundance a very scrappy film for a long, long time. And the review in The Hollywood Reporter, Emily, begins with the description, cinematically modest, but full of social and political urgency. Say something about making this film from content that just came in from their cell phones.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of discussion about how the ability of anyone to use a phone to record a film is democratizing. But, you know, the truth is that the material that the phones generate can be quite challenging to work with from the perspective of cleaning it up and making it possible to project it or broadcast it like what we're doing. So, you know, we ended up really having to try to make the best of what the footage was, meaning trying to put the fact of it being a very intimate type of medium to use in the edit, which, you know, which is to say that I didn't try to hide the way it was being shot
right.
as an editor. I actually highlighted that. I felt it was an important part of the story itself. To, you know, then in the process of doing our sound and color, we actually spent quite a lot of money and a lot of time to elevate the footage, to elevate the experience, particularly of the sound. Our sound designer is an incredible sound designer, and he did a lot, actually, to make it so that the film is a pleasant experience to watch. You know, it's not many people want to spend 90 minutes watching mobile phone home videos. So we needed to elevate the film above that while also highlighting the way it had been made and the intimacy of that medium.
Hmm. I didn't once think about that in watching the hour and 40-minute film, the times that there are whispers, the times that there are loud sound bursts. And so it's interesting to hear you talk about it. Hassan himself said, "I made this film so our voices wouldn't be silenced." The oldest of the two daughters, Emily, and she's about, what, 9 or 10? She is a remarkable storyteller. Her presence, I think, is so powerful.
Yes, she's an extremely observant and bright child. She's 8 at the start of the film, and she's turning 12 this month. She, for me, was really the kind of grounding of the story, because as parents, everything you're doing is about ensuring your children's safety. And as the older daughter, she's very aware of what's going on around her. And at the same time, because she's not yet an adult, she articulates it in such a direct and powerful way. So often it was the way she would talk about something that felt that it really got to the heart of the experience, of the fear, of the residual trauma. Whereas as parents, they were trying to kind of subdue that and make it go away so that it wouldn't linger for their children.
The subtitling is in English, but the film is not. Otherwise, we would play a bit of the trailer for you. I do want to add that there is reaction, like I said, from around the world. But I want to know what you want us to understand from this movie, Emily.
I just want people to have the opportunity to spend an hour and a half with a family that's on this journey, where they kind of push to the side these debates that we have about numbers and, sort of debates that make theoretical and distant the actual experience of the journey. I think that once you've been with the family on that journey, you can have a very different kind of conversation. And so for me, it's about opening a space where anyone, regardless of their political position, can hold a space in their heart and in their mind for what it is like to actually be on this journey.
I don't ask you this question to be any kind of a spoiler, because even in knowing some of the rest of the story, the movie fully stands on its own as the journey that it is. But the family survived and got to Hungary, was granted asylum. But where are they now?
They're in Germany, and they have a pending case. They're safe, but they're still in a waiting game, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, again, I thank you for the time, for the conversation, and for the film, too, Emily. I really appreciate you talking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me on.
That's Emily Medavian. She is the producer, writer, and editor of the film Midnight Traveler. It will be screened tomorrow night at 5:30 at the Manetti Schrem Museum. It's part of the UC Davis Human Rights Film Festival. We've posted a link for more information, and you're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.